And in the same regions that were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a great expression of the love of God. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Let's take a look at something real quickly today as we think about, understand, and become empowered with what this whole season represents. Number one, God requires nothing of anyone. He isn't dissatisfied. He wasn't or never has been missing anything because he is everything. And he is the fullness of all things. So there isn't anything within God's character or his reality that lacks anything. God didn't have to make mankind. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't missing anyone. But the word says that God did what he did because he loved. And the creation of mankind and all of its existence is a representation of that very love. Agape love. Love that exceeds our imagination. You know, as individuals, human beings, typically we love because we feel an emotion. We love because we appreciate something. And we're commanded to love. We're told to love. The word tells us to love. And the reason it tells us to love is because we were created in the genesis of time to be a representative of love. So God commands us to love, and we're supposed to love. And you should do that. But see, God doesn't have to be told to love. God is love. He doesn't have to be reminded to love you. He loves you every single day. God is love. See, we are told to love, but God is love. So God says, I want you to love. Love one another. And we receive it as a command, but there's a scripture that says, I'll say it like this, when we get it, when we understand, then his commandments are not heavy. They're not burdensome. We accept them with joy. We're thankful for them. We're thankful that God said what he said and says what he says today. And then understand that God is always present. He has never changed from beyond the beginning of time. And God is outside of the sphere of time. So for us to try and comprehend who he is and that he is, other than that he is God ever present with us, is almost impossible because we reference everything that we know based on a place, on matter, on a time. And those three dynamics to our reality tell us what exists or what doesn't exist, what is or what isn't, what makes sense and what may be hard to grasp. But God is outside. And more than outside, he is beyond the sphere of what we consider reality. And yet, his reality calls into our world, into our reality, so we can do something that he created us to do in the beginning of time. In Genesis, the word says, God said, God expressed a desire, not out of need, but one reason, out of love, pure love. Love and love alone. God said, let us, the triad, the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, one Yahweh, one Yeshua, one Holy Spirit, one Messiah, one God. And God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. And heaven would have not understood, nor would heaven have known what exactly that meant. Make man, what is man? And God says, I'm going to show you. We're going to make man in our image and in our likeness. And then the word says that God took the dust of the earth and he created man. And he breathed ruach, the breath of life, into man. And because God is spirit and God is life, and man became as God is, in the sense that man became alive. And then the word says that God took Eve out of Adam's side by opening Adam's side, representation of Christ, of course, and took out Adam's rib, and by the rib he made, or from the rib he made, woman. And I'm sure glad he did, because I have a beautiful blonde, because God wounded Adam and brought her out of his side. Everything that was done in the very beginning was that which would be done at the very end, because God is beyond time. God doesn't operate within the sphere of time. I think most of us get that. But when God does something, it encompasses all reality and not simply a sphere of time. So God is present, Christ is present, the Holy Spirit is present when God is creating Adam and when God takes Eve out of Adam. So God, out of the earth, creates man. And then out of man, God takes woman. Preparation for the very vessel through which he would bring our redemption, our salvation. Isn't that incredible? God knew all along what he was doing. God was not only in the beginning, he was in the beyond time. But he was certainly within every sphere of every second of your life, and he knows you very well. See, the entire reason for the gift of Christ is so no one in this audience, no one viewing here today or later on, could think, but I don't qualify. If you feel uncomfortable in the house of the Lord, it's because you don't understand who you are. You aren't your idea. You aren't your design. You aren't your timeline. You aren't your year. You're God's. You belong to him. He is Lord over you. He is Lord of you. And he wills to be Lord through you. And only love does that. So in the beginning, God took man out of the earth. And at the next beginning, he takes God out of man. Pretty amazing, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? Jesus. And the Word became flesh. The Word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That doesn't just mean God had one son up in heaven and he said, I'm going to take this one son and I'm going to go ahead and give him. That's really not what it means at all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. So God said, I'm going to be begotten. I'm going to be born. First time, God is going to become a first. He is called the firstborn among many brethren. Meaning what is about to take place is unprecedented. This has never, ever happened before. God is going to be born. Only born God. Never happened. For God so loved the world that he gave his birth. He gave his life. And the word says, and God incarnate, God became man. That blows your mind. It blows my mind if I try to think about it. I can't. I just have to believe God incarnate. God became flesh. Now, why would he do that? He's God Almighty. It was a wonder of God that was present when God was creating Eve, and God opened up Adam's side in preparation, prophetic for a season that we're going to experience today and into the future. And then God takes the rib out of Eve, knowing that Christ will come through this rib that he has taken out of man and reposition, redeem, regenerate, and restore man. So all along, the word says Christ, before the foundation of the world, was prepared to be God, not only over the earth, but to be God in the earth. God is beyond time. But there was a time that God made himself a new beginning. And only God can do that. And we needed that. Because in the beginning, God created man, the word says, in his likeness, in his image, and in his likeness. And the image of in the image of God created he them, both male and female. Adam, Adam, earth, also implies and means a humanity, mankind. So if the word says God, or says man, it means, or Adam, it means humanity. Also means the Son of God. The word says Jesus was the last Adam. Say thank you, Lord. The first man was made a living soul. The last man, a life-giving spirit. So see, in the very, very beginning, your assignment, your code, your purpose, your reason was to be a reflection, much like light. Again, we can't see light. We have a lot of lights here. You would never see this light if it wasn't reflecting off of something. You can't see light in a vacuum. It's impossible. You can't do it. Your natural eye cannot perceive nor see light in a vacuum. Light requires something to reflect off of in order to see its reality, to see its image. That's who you are. God said, let us make a reflection in our image and in our likeness so the light of who we are can be made known. And so my creation, because I love, can experience the nature of who I am through trusting and loving me. You didn't love him. He loved you. See, when Christ came, it wasn't just Jesus coming to forgive sin. Something happened that's never happened before. This new birth isn't just new birth. It isn't just like someone being born for the first time. It's a birth that had never taken place before. It's a creation from God that never existed before. Heaven didn't know. Earth didn't. No one knew but God. Only God knew. Only God. Adam wasn't aware. Eve wasn't aware of the preparation. The word says Christ was prepared before the foundation of the world. He was there, and he is called the Word of God. And God created them, so he created you to be a reflection of his character, of his personality. That's the whole point. Why was the punishment so severe? Because they ate some fruit. They were told not to. Spank their hand, let them go, right? See, it's a representation. It's God's word. Let us make man, mankind, in our image and in our likeness. That's who you are. You're not man in your image and your likeness. You're not mankind in your image or your decree. We are mankind in his image and in his likeness. The Hebrew word denotes the ability to take on his personality, to represent the light, to be his reflection, to walk in the order of his person. Pretty incredible, right? So why the big penalty for breaking code? What did he do? God said to them, this is who you are, and I've given you this, and this is our covenant, and this is our relationship. I've given you everything. But when they disobeyed God, they corrupted the order. So they corrupted the image. So the image could no longer represent what it was created to represent. The image was not created to represent forgiveness. It wasn't created to represent, I'm sorry. It wasn't created to represent, I won't do it again. The image, you were created to walk in the fullness and the full representation of who God is. It's a pretty high call, wouldn't you say? Now, you know what's so amazing? That call remains to this day. It's the same call. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. Scriptures tell us all things were made by him and through him, and without him was not anything that was made. He made it all, and he was there in the beginning. But God so loved the world that he did something. God became man. God literally became his own creation. We can make a lot of things, but we can't become it. But God did. Now, God is Lord over all time, but when he came into the world, he was also Lord in time. And he was Lord in time to redeem and restore you. This is purely an act of love. Pure act of love. He didn't do it because he is angry at you. He didn't do it because he didn't like you. He did it because he is love. The word says God is love. That's who he is. And they broke code. They didn't love God. They loved themselves. They disobeyed. The word says it is impossible for God to lie. They listened to a lie. They broke code. And they acted on it. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And regardless of what position you take in your mind, in your relationship to God, it doesn't really matter what you think. It's who you are. Who was born? Who was reborn? You were. You were. Who came into the world? Who became what he became? What did he become? Man. God became you. Sinless. Sinless identity. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. Check it out. Who does he represent? You. God in man. So God knew, I'm going to restore this. And I'm going to restore it through the Word. And the Word is going to be born, and the Word is going to become flesh, and it's going to dwell among them, and He is going to represent who I am, and I am going to redeem them from the very beginning of time. The Word says, sin fell on everyone because of one man's sin. So then everyone that is born into the world fell into that category of sin. You broke code. What was the big deal? What they were created to do, they corrupted, they destroyed it, they killed it immediately. God said, in the day you do it, in the day you eat of that tree, you'll break code, you'll die. And they did, immediately. Their consciousness died. They no longer represented the love of the Father. They no longer represented truth. They no longer represented peace. They represented corruption. God is not corrupt. God is perfect. Corruption cannot represent God. Be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. Any religion or doctrine that teaches you being good enough, is death. For the wages of sin is death. God is life. The representation of who he was and who he is was now corrupted by man's disobedience. Number one, man lacked nothing. Same problem we have today. We think we need something outside of the order of God's perfect will in order to be satisfied. Wrong. It's death. It kills you every time. It first kills your conscious awareness of who you are in him and who he is in you. And the rest follows because life is in the blood. And the life of the blood is in Christ. And Christ is the Redeemer through his blood. You are created to be a reflection of God's love, of his truth, of his peace, of his goodness. And it's not of works so you could boast. It's also not of works so you can't fail. If you believe. He didn't only make a way, but he sealed, the word says, the way through the Holy Spirit so it could never, ever, ever, ever be broken again. You can break code in yourself, but you cannot break the order of God's reflection. It remains from the time of Christ to eternity. It'll never be broken again. Jesus said, I am the same I am the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. The angel shouted, glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace. Goodwill to men. See, the moment that God became man, he was able to redeem man from the very beginning, the genesis of time, the first idea. There were two people that walked with sinless identities for a moment in time. Adam and Eve. They knew no sin. There was no sin. They didn't break code. As long as they loved God and walked in the fullness. See, it isn't that they were missing anything. It's that they didn't. Again, it's not what you look at. It's what you look away from that destroys you. It wasn't that Peter looked at the waves and was afraid. He looked at the waves all the time. It was the fact that he, for the first time, looked away from Jesus. And that's what caused him to sink, and that's what causes you to sink. When you begin to identify with your past, you have to understand if your past was 5 minutes ago or 50 years ago, it doesn't make any difference because Christ came and became a part of time for the first time, being Lord over time, so he could redeem you in time for all time. Lord over is amazing, but Lord in is a wonder of God. Which means we get to participate in this world in being a reflection of God and his kingdom. So Jesus said, now seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the rule of his authority and his righteousness, not yours. If you're failing, it's your righteousness. If you're succeeding, it's his. And the only difference is, in whom do you believe? In whom do you believe? When you consider your actions, maybe you did something that was flawed or wasn't perfect. That's not who you are. It is no longer I that lives, the scriptures say, once we've been born again. It is Christ that lives in me. And what I identify with isn't the flesh. It isn't the past. It isn't what I wished I didn't or hadn't done. You didn't. See, the regeneration through Jesus Christ, the incarnate of God in the earth, was that any reflection that didn't shine Jesus, that didn't shine the Father, was no longer in existence in God's reality. He abolished it forever. The reality of God is through Christ you are an absolute sinless identity. It doesn't exist in you. It cannot. You cannot be embodied by a nature that Christ destroyed and took out of the way, nailing it to his cross and made an open display saying it's done. See, what was really done on the cross was your consciousness was atoned for. What does that mean? Any time, any thought, any natural idea, action or attitude enters into my mind, I can look and go, but it's not I that lives, it's Christ. I died with him on the cross and he did it because he came into, he is Lord over all time and beyond time, we know that, but he entered into a fragment of time. All he needed was a moment. All earth had to do was feel his presence. All he had to do was feel earth under his feet. And the moment that he did, he was Lord in it all, as well as Lord over it all. He is the first, the last, the beginning, the end. The word says he is the last Adam. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a life-giving spirit. Jesus was both. Jesus came and he became man. He took the position of the first Adam, man. He came to atone for man, first Adam, first man, Adam. See, what he had to do, he didn't have to come and atone for all your sins. He atoned for Adam's sin. We only entered into sin because one man sinned. That's what the word teaches. Now all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And religion loves to shout that because it gives them an excuse to continue to act like the devil. They don't want to repent because repentance is to change your mind about what you used to do and take on the mind of who he is and what he does. But Jesus was the first and the last. He took the place of the first Adam. And then he took position of the Adam purposed by God. He became Adam. He became mankind. God in us the hope of glory. Your salvation today isn't dependent on, well, I don't know. Well, you are known whether you know or not. Well, I'm not sure. Well, he has reassured. So you are sure to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He came into the world, not just as an adoption, but making sonships by restoring relationship. He only had to die for one man's sin, Adam. If he atoned for one man's sin, he atoned for all. Read the word. In that he went and died for the first man, because through the first man and one man brought sin into the world, then through one man's sin was abolished and the world was restored. Why did he become a man? Because he had to. Because man had to be restored into the purpose of God, and he had to have the sinless identity that God gave man in the beginning of time. This is God's will. And God created them in his image and his likeness. Let's say it like this. God created his reflection, his personality, his love, his truth, and his life. And he instituted it in the world and said, you're going to reflect me both to heaven and earth. And the angels are going to look at you and go, glory to God in the highest. Yes. On we see God in his creation. Only God could become his own creation. Yes. And that's what he did. And he did it because he loves you. He did it to make a statement in time, though he is Lord beyond time, that he is Lord of all time. And being Lord of all time, he can redeem everyone and anyone from anything and everything in less than a moment's time, because he is Lord beyond time, but he has made himself Lord through time, so he could take your time and destroy it and bring out his time, which is endlessness. See, that's why he said, I am the first and the last. First what? First Adam and last Adam. I am the beginning and I am the forevermore. In me, he said, you have life. The scriptures say there was no other way. And there is no other name. There is no other identity whereby we must be saved, because you only need the one to redeem the one that redeems them all, because his blood paid for every sin from the beginning of time to present date. And that's who we are. The redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout in the house. When he said, I am the first, he was saying, I am the first Adam. I'm going to take his place. I am the last. I will be the last Adam. And I will restore and establish the place forever. That's why he is called the everlasting one, the Redeemer, the eternal Lord. He's always eternal Word, but he became eternal Lord over his creation, because God so loved the world that he became his own creation to redeem us from our fallen state. And to say, remember, I've given you all things. All things. See, today, if you will remember, I have everything. You may not have what you're looking for, but you have who you are in him. And if you find out who you are in him, you'll find that your desires that lead you astray will fall away. See, Eve said in her mind, if I eat this fruit, I'll be like God. God said, Eve, you are like me. What did she do? She fell into the shadows. Shadows of doubt. Didn't represent God. You're light. So when Jesus is raised from the dead, he said, now you are the reflection. You are the light of the world. This generation, this nation, and the nations of the earth will take on the glory of God's identity as represented in Genesis and represented in the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, he took old Adam to the cross, and when he raised from the dead, he was the last Adam, ever standing in the glory and the power of God, representing who you are. Jesus didn't come because he needed to fix something. He came because he is everything. He came and he won. He will always win. He always rules. He's always Lord. He's always God. And regardless of what you think about the world, politics, the economy, I tell you, word of the Lord, God will be glorified in his earth. God will be heard. God will be seen. Nations will worship him. Every form, every platform will glorify God. God will be heard from the lowest valley to the highest mountain peak. The Lord is revealing himself. The Lord will appear. He will appear in his glory. He will appear in his wisdom. He will appear in his light. He will appear in his love. He will appear in his truth. He will appear in his eternity. And guess who he is appearing in? God won't prove himself to you. He will reveal himself through you. He came. And he said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm not leaving you alone. You see, I'm not only God over it all. Now I am God in it all. And you may say, well, he's always been God in it. He was God over it. He put you in it and gave you his reflection. Jesus said, I am in the world, but I'm not of it. But I am in it. I'm in it. And being in it, being God in the flesh, I can redeem you from everything and anything. And I'm going to the Father because I'm going to seal what I've done by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to indwell you and you're going to represent me. And you will forever be forgiven, ever be redeemed, ever be spotless. The identity you have, the reflection you have is me. It's no longer you that lives. It's Christ that lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God. See, he really was the first and the last. Really is the beginning and the end. Adam's transgression was severe because who he was, he lost. It wasn't the mistake he made. It was the identity he abandoned. Image of the Father. How could I not have all things? See, to worship God is to know who you are in God. He is not God away. Jesus said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm here all the time. If you walk through the fire, I'm there. If you go through the flood, I'm there. Noah, I'm with you. Moses, I'm with you. See, Jesus was reflecting, I am who I am, but there will be day. There will be a time. I will take a time. I will become part of that time. I will become man in your time. And I will, Lord, be Lord always over and beyond time, but now I am Lord in your time so I can live in you and in your time you can glorify me. What a great gift from God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave a birth that had never transpired before. The first and only of his kind. God became his creation to redeem his creation through a spotless, pure, loving, righteous, holy identity. And he offers that to you today as his gift. Merry Christmas. The gift is Christ in you. The past gone and the new come. This is a time, this is an era, this is a season, this is a moment, this is a beyond time, this is a beyond history. This generation will make history. It will be written about. It will be represented in every walk of God's perfect order. We have not come to an end. Ladies and gentlemen, body of Christ, church, I present to you, this is the beginning of the dawning of a new era, a new age, a new season, a new time. Christ revealed, contradiction removed, religion will fall, righteousness will rise, the church will relinquish its fake, phony, fallen identity, and God will resurrect in the heart as though it were on Mount Sinai, the glory and the banner of God, saying, we are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have no excuse because He was our excuse. He paid the price. His sinless identity has given me mine. And it is no longer me that I identify with, but it is He who came and identified with me to put away who I was, so I was resurrected in the likeness of who He is. And this is the greatest season of your lives. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout. Would you stand with me today? Jesus, this incredible gift beyond imagination. Some would say, you know, they may say Jesus wasn't a Christian. Jesus was a Jew. You ever heard that? Makes me laugh. See, the identity of a Christian is one who is Christ-like. It's the genesis of our beginning. Christ was the foundation of Christianity. He is Christ in us. That is a Christian, Christ in me. If I follow Him, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Christ. It's not a culture or a creed or a nation. It's all things. Christ. John said it like this. He said, except Christ give it, no one gets it. It's all given by Him, through Him, and for Him. And to Him be glory. The word says, if you just believe, if you are willing to believe. Now, I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to pray together. And we are going to pray the prayer of salvation. But it is not salvation in the prayer. It is salvation in the heart. And all the heart has to want is who He is and believe that He came, gave His life, and He was raised the third day by the glory of the Father. That's the gift. And if you're afraid to do it because you think you'll fail, you miss the point. He removed failure. He took it out of the way. But you won't live in that relationship if you continue to identify with your past. It will constantly hold you back. You have to identify with who He is. That was the point in Genesis. Here's the word, and in keeping my word, you identify with who I am, and you are my reflection, and you enjoy all the benefits of who God is. Isn't that incredible? Only one God, but we get to share in the benefits of who He is. There isn't anything beyond that. If you'll receive that, if you'll believe that, and I give you the invitation, I am here representing the Word of the living God. I am here as a representation for Jesus Christ, that He is Lord, that He came by the will of the Father, fulfilled the prophecies, was born of a virgin, gave His life, ascended from the dead, ascended to the Father, and empowered us with His own Spirit. And He dwells with us right here, right now. And we have to believe. Paul said, a two-souled, a two-minded, a split-minded individual has two personalities. He doesn't represent the one God. And God can't do anything through him. See, to know God, you have to do it the same way you know love. You can be, some people can talk about it, but you're going to have to experience it. You have to love. He's loved you, and He loves you. And it just doesn't matter what it is, because He paid for it all. every single thing then and now. Don't just say it as a religious statement. If you believe it, live in it. Don't talk about your past. You do not need to dredge up your past in order to show how much God has forgiven you for. Trust me, there's enough dirt on everybody. If they without Christ, you don't need to tell anybody that you're dirt. When you die, they'll know. It's pointless. It's a pointless exercise with no embodiment, no meaning, no reflection of your true identity. That's Christ in you. But rather declare His glory. Scriptures say, I meditate on your law day and night. I put your word before me always. I will keep my mind on you. They that keep their mind on Him, He keeps in perfect peace. I will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. You've nothing to fear. You've nothing to dread. When you present yourself to anyone, your family, your friends, and God Himself, it is not who you were in sin. It's who you are in Christ. And that's all that matters. And this is that day. So a prayer isn't going to save you. But your heart will. Through Christ. If your heart is in this prayer, we're just coming together and agreeing. We're confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll do this with me today, those that are viewing, you may say, I'm not sure. I felt a little half in, half out. This is the day that it all ends. This is the day that the beginning and the end, the Adam you were, dies, and the Adam you were created to be lives. This is that day. And you're going to do it by simply believing and receiving the gift. How do you do it? Just receive it. It's so painlessly, effortlessly expressed. Because God is so greatly, powerfully, and fully with you. He will receive your heart. He will accept your prayer. He will receive your commitment. What commitment? That I'm free. That I'm sinless through Christ. That He was more than enough. And He did it all. When He nailed Himself to the cross, He nailed me to the cross. And I died with Him and in Him. And I'm raised with Him. By the glory of the Father. That's who you are. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All you have to do is mean it with your heart. Just be intentional. Just mean it. Say, Father, God Almighty, Creator of all that is, the only God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Jesus, thank you for your love, for going to the cross. For me, for laying down your life for me, for raising from the dead for me. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I receive new life right now through you, instantaneously. As quickly as I can make a mistake, I am saved far more quickly. Faster than the speed of light. I receive your gift of eternal life. I receive you, Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and power. So I continue to remember. I am sealed through your Spirit, your cross, your blood, and your resurrection to eternal life. And I receive that gift here and now. This moment of time, you are Lord over it, you are Lord in it, you are Lord through it, and I receive the gift here and now in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, go ahead and say, Amen. Amen. Amen.